The question was asked, how are we to understand that Shlomo HaMelech married so many women, and the Pasuk records that these women brought in idol worship into the country, when Shlomo HaMelech repeatedly warns us in the book of Mishlei from staying away from all these foreign women? The question is a very good question. We have to begin really by introducing Shlomo HaMelech. Who do you most admire as far as a religious figure, someone who's pious, someone who's righteous? Think for a minute. You don't have to tell me, but think for a minute who you would say is your role model, who you would say is someone who you stand in awe of. Take that person and imagine that, if you can imagine, imagine that they were 100 times what they are. I don't know if you could imagine that. Like 100 times better than what they are now. And that brings you back maybe to the period of the Gemara. Okay? Take anyone in the Gemara and multiply them maybe 100 times. And then you have Shlomo HaMelech. You're talking about someone who God spoke to. God calls him Yedidya, the friend of God. God personally names him that. And God grants him the greatest wisdom on the planet. So, he is so pious, he is so wise. When we read about him, we have to realize that the words are said simply, but they have a much deeper meaning. A person who was called the chosen one by Hashem, and a person who was granted so many gifts, and a person who was chosen to build Hashem's home, God says to David, you know him, yes. He was a big person. A person who dedicated the temple, a person who... Okay, Shlomo HaMelech, what can I say? So we have to realize that we don't begin to understand who Shlomo HaMelech was. When we speak about such giants, I don't understand who Enamor is. I don't understand who some giants in our generation are. Forget going back to the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara. So when you talk about Shlomo HaMelech, you're talking about someone who's just so far beyond us that it's very hard for us to even talk about him. But what choice do we have? The Navi talks about him. We have to know that the style of the Navi is that the Navi often expresses things in very, very harsh terms when the sin was ever so slight.
Let's see, we have over here in Yehoshua.
Says that the Jewish people went to fight the city of Ai, and it should have been an easy battle. And when they go for the first battle, so they lose. They lose the first battle, and when they lose the first battle, so Yeshua is devastated, and he prays before Hashem, and Hashem says, get up! What are you falling on your face for? Chata Yisrael! Israel has sinned. V'gam avru et briti asher tziviti otam. They have transgressed the covenant I commanded them. V'gam lakhu min acherem, and they took from the loot that was set aside. V'gam ganvu, v'gam kichashu, v'gam samu bichleim. They stole, they lied. They put from the forbidden loot in their vessels. And the Jewish people will not be able to stand up to their enemies. They're going to turn the backs of their neck to the enemies. They're going to be abolished. I will not continue to be with you if you don't remove the forbidden loot from your midst. You read this speech, Hashem speaking to the Jewish people, seems pretty harsh. We transgressed the covenant, we stole, we lied, we won't be able to stand up to our enemies. Look at what harsh terms are used. One person stole, right? One person stole a necklace, stole a few pieces of jewelry, silver. One person. Look at how the Navi goes on and speaks with such harsh terms. So one of the things we have to learn is that the Navi will often use harsh terminology, because the terminology can represent one of a few things. It can represent what really happened. That's the way we talk. It can represent the weight of what happened. Now, the weight of what happened can be gauged in one of two ways. It could be gauged based upon the act itself, or it can be weighed based upon who does it. On his level, to do that is terrible. Meaning, a guy just comes to Machon Meir. He's just learning about Judaism now. And he learned he's not supposed to eat meat with milk. And then he says to himself, I'm going to go have my last hamburger, my last, what do they call, cheeseburger. So he goes to a restaurant and he has his last cheeseburger and he comes back to Machon Meir. He says, now I'm ready to keep kosher. What are you going to say? Well, he really shouldn't have had that last cheeseburger, right? Now that he knows it's prohibited, he shouldn't have done it. But is it the worst sin in the world? Moshe Rabbeinu says, let me just have one cheeseburger, right? That's terrible. That's impossible. How could you do such a thing? You're the essence of truth. You are Torah. You're going to have a cheeseburger? You understand the difference? So a sin is not only gauged based upon who does it, it's not only gauged based upon what's done, it's also gauged based upon who does it. It's also gauged based upon the timing. It's gauged based upon a few things. Shlomo HaMelech, on some level, erred in marrying these women. These women underwent conversion. These women were good kosher gerim. And yet, on some level, these women were not good kosher gerim. They were not exactly where they should have been. The Navi words it as Shlomo HaMelech married women who did idol worship. Shlomo HaMelech's wives led his heart astray. Chazal tell us that pasuk isn't to be taken literally. That pasuk is an expression of the harshness of Shlomo's sin. Just as when Hashem said it to Yoshua. And there are other examples in Tanakh where the Navi reacts very harshly. The Navi says, Eli's children slept with married women in the entrance to the courtyard. Okay, Chazal tell us that's not what happened. The women came, they brought their sacrifice. Eli's children were lackadaisical about doing their service. And so they delayed, and the women didn't want to go back home to be with their families until they could be certain that their sacrifice was brought. So they'd stay, and they'd stay overnight. And then the husband would be home without his wife, and the wife would be out without the husband. And so the Navi words it as though they slept with the woman. Instead of the woman going home and being with her family, they slept with her. They didn't sleep with her. She slept in a tent somewhere out there. She took a hotel. They slept in their houses with their families. Yeah, but the Navi considers it very harsh that when people come up to the temple, instead of the temple being a place that's sanctification of Hashem's name, people see the servants of Hashem are being lackadaisical about the work to the point where they have to stay up an extra night to make sure that everything gets done properly. So the Navi words it in such harsh terminology. And we have many examples throughout the Tanakh. We have examples that way. So the Tanakh is not a history book. If you were writing a history book this way, that would be terrible. You can't write a history book and use terminology that you don't mean. But in Tanakh, you have to know how to understand the Tanakh. The Tanakh uses harsh terminology when very often it's expressing the weight the sin had in heaven. It's not expressing literally what was done. The point of the Tanakh is not to be a history book, but to give us, so to speak, God's perspective on world history. So from God's perspective, that was the weight God gave that sin. Shlomo HaMelech, his wives, the way they ended up, that was the weight God gives the sin. So then it's expressed that way in the Navi. But our tradition is that it didn't really play itself out that way exactly. So that we could learn Bezrat Hashem. If you want...